said Danglars mentally. All has gone as I would have it. I am temporarily commander of the Pharaon, with the certainty of being permanently so. If that fool of a Caderousse can be persuaded to hold his tongue, my only fear is the chance of Dantès being released. But bah, he is in the hands of justice. And, added he with a smile, she will take her own. So saying, he leaped into a boat, desiring to be rowed on board the Pharaon, where M. Morel had appointed to meet him. Chapter 6. The Deputy Procureur. In one of the large aristocratical mansions, situated in the Rue du Grand Cours, opposite the Fountain of Medusa, a second marriage feast was being celebrated, almost at the same hour with the ill-fated nuptial repast given by Dantès. In this case, however, although the occasion of the entertainment was similar, the company assembled formed a striking difference. Instead of a rude mixture of sailors, soldiers, and those belonging to the humblest grade of life, the present assembly was composed of the very flower of Marseille society. Magistrates who had resigned their office during the usurper's reign, officers who, scorning to fight under his banners, had offered their services to foreign powers, with younger members of the family, brought up to hate and execrate the man whom 5 years of exile would have converted into a martyr, and 15 of restoration elevated to the rank of a demigod. The guests were still at table, and the heated and energetic conversation that prevailed betrayed the violent and vindictive passions that then agitated each dweller of the South, where, unhappily, religious strife had long given increased bitterness to the violence of party feeling. The emperor, now king of the petty Isle of Elba, after having held sovereign sway over one half of the world, counting us his subjects, a small population of 20 millions, after having been accustomed to hear the Vive Napoleons of at least 6 times that number of human beings, uttered in nearly every language of the globe, was looked upon among the haute société of Marseille as a ruined man, separated for ever from any fresh connection with France or claim to her throne. The magistrates freely discussed their political views. The military part of the company talked unreservedly of Moscow and Leipzig, while the females indulged in open comment upon the divorce of the Empress Josephine. All seemed to evince that, in this focus of royalism, it was not over the downfall of one man they rejoiced, but in the bright and cheering prospect of a revivified political existence for themselves. An old man, decorated with the cross of Saint Louis, now rose and proposed the health of King Louis XVIII. This aged individual was the...